Friends along the way, and Ed, you're getting close to the marriage. Day coming up here? Is this in August?
August, yeah. August.
Okay. You know, you don't have to go ahead. I really don't want to. But I don't think your fiance would appreciate that. But I bet you're here. No, it's three generations right there in that car. So, good to have everybody here today. And a special welcome to you. Just some announcements. I know we're having day camp this year in August, and Dina Strzok has, if I could say a little something about what's needed in August. So Dina, you want to do that?
It's August 9th, and we have quite a few signed up to help, and so thank you for signing up. And if anybody wants to come and help, we'd love to have you. But what we're looking for, they said Pop-Tart boxes. So the boxes, the size of Pop-Tart boxes. I happen to have these two boxes. They're about the right size. So if you have boxes, please save them for us. And we also need like the lids from water bottles or pop bottles, that kind of thing. So if you save those for us, we'd appreciate it. And there is a box in the storeroom that is behind the ladies' bathroom there. So you just drop them in there. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for everybody that's pitching in and helping with the day camp, Education Bible School that we'll be having here in August. And just want to remind you that Tuesday of this week, as always, there is a group that gets together in the library that prays. And we're thankful for that. And if you've got any prayer requests that you'd like to pass on to them and you can't be here with them, that's just fine. Just like call the church office and say, I got a prayer request. Give it to the prayer group that meets on Tuesday morning, and they will definitely be in prayer about that. And I'm sure they pray about that even after Tuesday as well. So keep that in mind. Saturday, we have our men's breakfast at Perkins, July 3rd. Do you think there's going to be a lot of people there? No?
Maybe.
Everybody from Iowa is going to be at Perkins. But it's been good to have good attendance at these breakfasts for just guys, and so we hope that we can break a record again. I think we had 10 last time, didn't we? So Bruce, you can make it 11. If everybody comes back, we'll break a record.
Are you going to foot the bill?
No, Chuck Teelberger pays. And he's not here today, so he won't know anything about it.
Surprise, surprise.
Lunch with a Bunch, if you're interested in a Bible study, we're going to the book of Philippians on Thursdays from noon to 1. You can come and be a part of that as well. We're just getting to the end of chapter 2 in Philippians. And we'll just continue on with that. And per request, you know, Chuck Teelber is wrestling, kind of getting his hemoglobin up there. He's had blood transfusions, and then it kind of bounces up, and then it goes away. Donna is dealing with cellulitis, so she's got to keep one leg up all the time, and she can only do something. She only got about an hour window where she can do something, and she's got to get her leg back up there. But Chuck says they've never gotten along so bad. You know, they're both taking care of each other. So Chuck's got his way of still, his sense of humor keeps going there even when he doesn't feel very, very good. But keep them in prayer as well as others that you see in the bulletin there today. And I want to thank those of you that helped or gave to Jenny Nappy's bridal shower.
Thank you so much.
You know, that's in there, and Bev is the mother to Jenny. So it's good to hear her say that. And also, thank you to those of you that helped Richard Hildebrand, who's wanting to go down to Haiti. He's a builder, a carpenter. He does a lot of things anywhere in the world he can go. So thank you for those that helped with Richard, and I'm not sure what the plan is.
He's going to Ghana with us.
Where's he going to Ghana?
In September.
Oh. What's he going to build?
He's going to be building things for a school.
Okay, great. And we've had a couple change of addresses. If you want to know the addresses to Rob and Carol Banta, they moved to a different place, but they're in Milford. So they're close by. But Tom and Roz Lewers moved to Lincoln, Nebraska. So if you want to send a little greeting card or something to any of them, you can call the church office, try to give you their address, how you can do that. But that's all the announcements I'm going to give here today. And I'd just like to just start with a word of prayer together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have the worship team that is, everybody's here today. That hasn't happened for months. So it's just great to be able to worship you, Lord, with the music that is provided through the willingness of those who's got the fingers and the voices to do what they do. And we thank you too, Lord, for all who have come here today. And Lord, you know every heart that's here this morning. And we just pray that you use this time as a way where we can draw closer to Jesus Christ, and that your Holy Spirit will do his work in each heart and each life that is here today as well. We pray for the wedding, Lord, that's coming up in August. And just know that there's always a lot of details, and it's in Minnesota, so that there's other things that come into play there too sometimes with COVID. And so we just pray that you just help the bride not to become a bridezilla, but that she will look to this day forward and same with Ed, and blessing will be upon them. And all that is said and done as they start their lives together in August as well. And so we just pray for those that are hurting in our midst, those that are dealing with things that are not easy. But Lord, all things are possible with you. May we look to you by faith in all that takes place in our lives today and every day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
I might enjoy all places, but I have nothing that I ask.
set aside. Name above all names, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I invite you to stand as we hear the scripture the text comes from today. I intentionally kind of skipped over some in there just because I didn't really deal with what we're dealing with today. But it comes from Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, verses 21 through 24. Let me skip to verse 35 to 43. One of the things we find out in Mark, the word immediately, you find it throughout this gospel. Mark likes to get things done fast. Are you like that? Things don't always go fast. But here we find one thing that did take place. Mark 5, begin with verse 21 to 24, and then skip down to 35. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue rulers, named Jairus, came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. 35. While Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, "Don't be afraid. Just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except for Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And when they came to the house of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately, the girl stood up and walked around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. Heavenly Father, may your word come to us today in a way that it is personal and active and powerful. Use your words today that makes us think about who you are, name above all names. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. When unexpected things happen, name of the title of the message today. And you know, unexpected things happen even on vacations. I'll tell you a couple of, I was reminded by one of the songs today, Bob, you know, the lighthouse, our lighthouse, where the chorus says something about you want to look for shore, you want to go to the shore. Well, I was out fishing with my son-in-law's dad, and we were on the other side of the lake. And all of a sudden, he's saying, "We're taking on water. I think we better go to the other side and dock." I'm going, "What do you mean we're taking on water?" He said, "The boat is sinking."
Yes.
I don't swim. And I don't have a life jacket on. And so I said, "Okay, let's get going." And I'm going like, "That's a long ways across this lake." And then he's going like, "Oh, I'm not sure if we're going to make it. You go sit up on the very point of the boat." And he says, I don't think we're going to make it, Tim." And I'm going, "We better make it. We got to make it." Now, you know, all these things are going through your mind, like, what's it going to be like to go into the water, and I'll get a life jacket on before that happens, and how am I going to get through this? But I'm just saying, Lord, get us to the other side. Get us to the dock. Get us to the dock. And long story short, I got to step onto the dock dry. And the boat did not sink. My son-in-law said, my dad seems to exaggerate a little bit, doesn't he? I go like, well, I just was believing what he's saying. He said he had water up to his ankles inside the boat. I go, that's not where water should be. So not only that, but then later on, after we traveled through Duluth, I'm noticing the sound of a jet airplane. You know, there's an airport in Duluth. Saw a plane kind of go over us, and I said to Sharon, I said, is there a jet out there? She goes, no, there's no jet. She goes, the noise is coming from the back wheel. I'm going, what? She goes, yep. She goes, something's not right at that back wheel. I go, like, it must be the brakes. It was metal against metal. And every time you'd step on the brakes, it would sound terrible. It sounded like a jet. And then I hated to hit the brakes. But after a while, you drive so far, it would come off of your rotor, what they call it. And it was fine. But then I'm thinking as I'm driving, I'm going, this thing could overheat, lock up my wheels, and I'll get to an accident or something. I didn't know what was really going on. But I mean, we made a two-hour drive from there to where we were heading, Wisconsin. And did find a Honda dealer, and we did get those fixed. So it's an unexpected thing. You don't expect this to take place. And I'm sure there's a lot of things that have happened in your life that are unexpected as well. And there might be things even tomorrow or this week or this coming year or the years ahead that you go like, we didn't expect this. Sometimes your refrigerator can go out. Your deep freeze. Your oven can go out unexpectedly. Sometimes your lawnmower can go kaput. And then there's health issues. Some of you understand what this is like, and sometimes you have unexpected visitors that show up. And then that's something we should always look forward to here in church, is that, hey, we look forward to someone we haven't seen before. Karen, you're here. Where are you at? There you are. You came back from being down in Arizona. Good to see you here this morning. But we always look forward to people that we don't know and we don't expect to see them, but they're here. And we just thank the Lord for each and every one of you and when that happens. Unexpected things that you can encounter in life. Meet the man we call Jairus. He met and saw some unexpected things in his life as well. Remember, this would make a good Father's Day message, but I know you had that last Sunday. But here Jairus is a dad who had a need, and he went to Jesus. All we know about him is that he's a synagogue leader. It means he is a religious man. It means he's very involved in his synagogue, or put it in our contemporary day, would be involved in a church. He would help out with the worship service and making sure that everything was taken care of. A very well-respected man. But he had a need this day, and I'm sure his wife did too. They had to deal with their little daughter. Mark tells us she's 12 years old. And his request to Jesus is about his daughter. And he has to tell Jesus that my daughter is dying. Can you about imagine what that is like? Those of you that are parents, she's dying. And yet he wants Jesus to come with him. He says, I know that if you can touch her, she will be healed and she will live. What's really interesting about this whole scenario here is look at who Jesus is. Now, Jesus came to this world to what? To die. That was his purpose. His mission was to come to this earth to save sinners, to die on the cross for all of us. And look at us. Whenever we go through something very difficult or get an illness or sickness, we want to live, don't we? We want the other person to live. But that's human nature. That's really who we are. We want to live, but Jesus came to die in your place, in my place, because he loves us. And it's the only way that we could be saved, the only way that we could enter into heaven is through him. So we find that Jesus always takes the time to listen and to comfort people, because Jesus is never too busy. Even when Jairus came to him, he just got off the boat from coming across the Sea of Galilee, probably in the area of Capernaum. And Jesus goes with him, but along the way, the crowds are pressing upon him. But we find that Jesus is never in a hurry. And he just takes what goes on along the way. Before he gets to Jairus' home, there's a group of men. It kind of makes you wonder, well, who were these guys? Probably his friends or maybe some family members that found him and came to him and had to tell him the bad news. Never been told that news? Unexpected things. I think of things in the time that I've been a pastor, of being called in the early mornings to come to the emergency room, to the hospital, where a young man is dead. Died in a car accident, but the wife is there and asks that he come. Never been in an ER room before like that. Went in there and saw him lying on the table with the tube still in his mouth. The smell in the air is alcohol. He'd been out drinking. And went off the road and hit an approach. In his 30s. And leaves a young wife and one boy, little boy, probably 2 years old. Unexpected things happen. Sometimes not so pleasant. Sometimes something that's unexpected is good. When we went up to Green Bush, Minnesota, anybody know where Green Bush is? Any hands? Only got one person. It's way north of Minnesota, close to Roseville. And met some cousins that I've never met in my life. Got some family that, and an aunt that lived in Green Bush, Minnesota, but I never really got to know her kids or her grandkids. So we got to meet, spend some time with cousins we've never met before. Last time I was there was 55 years ago. A lot of changes happened since then. We never expected to be out in the dairy barn till midnight, watching him milk cows. 65 cows. Wonderful white and black cows called Holsteins. And so it's just a real opportunity of getting to meet them. Unexpected things. And we knew that going in. It was a great journey. Jairus has a lot on his mind. And when he hears the news that his daughter has died, we find that Jesus gives hope. When there is no hope, he still gives hope. When he was told that his daughter had died, and then he was also said, no, don't bother the teacher anymore. Don't bother Jesus anymore. You can never bother Jesus. But Jesus says, don't be afraid, Jairus. Just believe. It's like, don't pay attention to what these guys just told you. Just believe. I'm with you. And those are good words that we need to hear too. Don't be afraid. Just believe. When Jesus comes to the home of Jairus, he finds that there's a lot of commotion going on there, which you would expect in that culture and in that day. because they would have what they call like professional wailers. It was just people, women that would come and cry out loud and wail and sometimes be, this doesn't make any sense, but they make a big noise in because someone had died, and they kind of announce that. And of course, the louder they are, the more sorrow and grief that is shared with those that do not come into the house. They realize that something very sad has taken place. Jesus enters into this house. He only takes with him three of his disciples. The rest, he said, you know, this guy's just stay here. Don't follow me any further. There's something that needs to be done. He goes into the house and he asks, why this commotion? And he says that this little girl is sleeping. She's not dead. She's just asleep. And from wailing and the noise and the commotion that they're making, they all started then to laugh at Jesus. And it showed really how sincere they really were with what was going on there in that house. But they started to laugh at Jesus and what he said. She's not dead. She's asleep. And it says here that Jesus then basically told everybody to leave the house. Just, you that are laughing, get out. Just get out. I don't know how long that took. It doesn't say. We got everybody out of the house. There was just Jairus and his wife and the three disciples, Peter, James, and John. And then Jesus, they go into the room where this girl lies, and she's dead. Have you ever gone into a room where someone is dead? It's not the most pleasant thing. Because we like life. And so Jesus enters into this room with his disciples, the three disciples, with the mom and dad, who's the girl that they know who has died. And he touches her hand and says, Talitha kum. Which means, little girl, I say to you, get up. You have to think about what went on here, what's going on here. Jesus picks that little girl's hand and he speaks to her just like she is asleep. Kind of makes you wonder what the mom and dad are thinking, as well as the disciples, going like, oh, come on, give me a break, Jesus. She's gone. She's a goner. All of a sudden, the little girl's eyes come open. And she moves. And she stands up. And starts walking around the room. And when Jairus, the dad, and the mom see their little girl come back to life, and so the disciples, they're just completely amazed. And of course, we would be too. Anytime there's a miracle, we just don't know what to do with those kinds of things. And then Jesus gives two orders to those in the room who witness this resurrection that takes place here. He tells them, now don't tell anybody what you just saw or what happened here. How can you not tell anybody what is taking place here? And then he said, give her something to eat. Interesting. Give her something to eat. She's probably been sick for a long time and hasn't eaten for a long time, but also a way of proving that this is not a dream. This is not a hallucinating here. Give her something to eat. And I'm sure that mom, she went right to the kitchen and said, you betcha, get something to eat and take this and eat. We think of Jesus when he showed up to the disciples after his resurrection. What did he do with his disciples? He asked, is there anything to eat? He eats with them. Just a way of reassuring them that, hey, This is for real. I'm back from the dead. I'm alive. So there's some unexpected things that take place here in our text. Jairus saw them take place as well as his wife. So when something unexpected happens in your life, where do you turn? Where do you turn? When something unexpected, when it's just not a good thing. And you cuss. But the first thing you do is you cuss and yell and make others angry and mad. Because you're mad, angry. Is Jesus the first person you go to, or is he the last one on your list when the unexpected happens? In this particular case, Jesus brings this little girl back to life. Now, this little girl really has a story to tell children and grandkids. I'm going to tell you about the time my dad went to Jesus about me, asked him to come and to heal me. I once was dead, physically. And my dad brought Jesus into my room. And he brought me back to life. That is the day that my dad, your grandpa, went to Jesus for me. When the unexpected happens to you, remember that God is never surprised, but he knows all things. We may be surprised, but God's not surprised. And God is there. Romans 8:28 is a great verse for us to hold on to. It says, "For we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him." Those who love Him. Do you love Jesus? Then all things work together for the good. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being there for Jairus. Lord, we know that sometimes you heal people and sometimes you don't. Sometimes good people suffer and we don't understand it. Sometimes death comes to people that we never ever would have thought would take place. It's unexpected. But Lord, you are there for us. Even in that pain and in that numbness, you are there. And you're here with us today. And we thank you for that. Lord, it's your voice that says to us to come. We may have sins that need to be forgiven. And you say, come, I will forgive you of them. It is you who will touch our hearts and touch our lives with your words and through your Holy Spirit, where we hear you say, come. The Lord knows we've wandered away. The Lord knows we all, like sheep, have gone our own way. But today he is saying, come. Come back. Come to me. Keep my words in your heart. And so, Lord, thank you that we can come. May we pray the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray together. Our Father,
our Lord, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Let us stand as we recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God,
the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he arose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen. May you see.